This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. We appreciate your tuning us in and trust the program will encourage and bless you and perhaps even challenge you. Now again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and my website address at the close of this program. If you go to my website, you can re-listen to these programs there. You can also email prayer requests from the website. And I have a weekly meditation you might find helpful. To email prayer requests from the website, you'll have to use the email address that is given there. But anyway, you'll need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, as you know, we're making a journey through the Bible, trying to give you an overview of what is found there, and trying to encourage you to read the Bible for yourself, to read it in its context, to understand the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and to see that the Old Testament is illustrative while the New Testament is pretty straightforward in a lot of cases with regard to the teaching for us today, particularly as we come to the epistles. But today we want to look at the book of Amos, and I realize that today is Easter. And because of the coronavirus, there's probably not going to be a lot of Easter celebrations like we have been used to in the past. And while I don't want to linger here and I don't want to show my prejudices, particularly today, I've sometimes wondered if we haven't reached the stage with our Christian celebrations that the children of Israel had reached in the days of Amos. If we were to read from Amos chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, the Lord says, "I hate, I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fat and peace offerings." And the point was that the children of Israel had violated the command that they should have no other gods other than Jehovah. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." They weren't to make idols. They weren't to make graven images. And the reason God had used them to destroy the Canaanites was because the Canaanites, having descended from Noah and knowing the truth of the one true God, they had turned aside to idolatry and all that was associated with it. And the children of Israel, when they were saved out of Egypt and brought miraculously across the desert into the land of Israel, they were to destroy all of that paganism, and they were to get rid of it so it did not tempt them, but they didn't do it. And now they've reached a point where they're intermarrying with pagans that have been left in the land, and they're worshiping their idols, and they're trying to worship, particularly in Israel, the northern 10 tribes, which would be the 10 nations, the 10 tribes. While they're worshiping there, they're trying to do it in a similar way to what is being done at Jerusalem, but they've set up their own idols in order to keep the people from going back to Jerusalem to worship. And so it's a mess, and pagan idolatry has come in, and intermarriage has come in, and even though they are carrying out feasts that they think should honor the Lord is saying, "I hate them." And this is stirring me, because we aren't going to have the Easter celebrations we usually have, but you think about it, and our Easter celebration is designed to honor the resurrection of the Lord. It's not designed to honor the fertility rites of the pagans. It's not designed to be represented by an Easter egg or an Easter bunny. And we say, "Oh, those things are just things that are fun for the kids. It makes no difference." Well, why do we teach our kids about things that God hates? And so I know that there are many people on Easter who are worshiping in a way where the Lord is honored. But the only way we can worship in a way where the Lord is honored is if our hearts are right. And our hearts aren't right unless we have come to a point where, as guilty sinners, we have trusted in the Savior who died for our sins according to the Scripture, was buried, and was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. If we are truly believers in the truth, that we needed a Savior, and that Christ, the Son of God, is that Savior, and that He's coming again. If we're true with regard to that, then perhaps we have the ability in our hearts to thank God at Easter time for the resurrection, which is the proof of the pudding. It's because of the resurrection that we can say of a certainty that all that was contained in the prophetic scripture, all that Christ taught, all that is contained in the teaching of the epistles is true because Christ has been raised from the dead. And so, when we look at this time of year, I hope that you do appreciate the resurrection of Christ and that you don't mix it with pagan worship and that you do have a heart that is right with God, that you've come to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I have studied Amos, I went to some literature that I had on the book, and one of them, which was from, I didn't know there were cliff notes on Amos, but apparently there are. And from the cliff notes, I read that Amos was a shepherd who lived in the region of Tekoa, not many miles from the city of Jerusalem. He made his living by raising sheep and taking care of sycamore trees. When his produce was ready for market, he went to the towns and villages of Israel. His journeys took him through the country districts where he observed the hardships imposed on the working class of people by the wealthy landowners who lived in the towns or cities in the midst of comparative luxury. While in the cities, Amos was deeply troubled not only by the contrast between the rich and the poor, but by the way in which the political and religious leaders tried to justify this disparity or this difference between the rich and the poor. And so he was living in a day much like what we have experienced in our day in the United States of America. And I in no way am trying to imply that the United States of America has replaced Israel or it is the representation of the kingdom of God. That's the church. But nevertheless, in our land, this is the way we live, and individually we're affected by it, aren't we? And there's a tendency for the rich to want to get richer, and there's a tendency for the poor to get poorer. And when we see the situation with this coronavirus, we're thankful that we see on the part of many people a humanity and a desire to help homeless and poor people like we've never seen before. And that's good, because that is what really honors the Lord. But this idea that just because we're rich, God has blessed us, is wrong. The Bible talks about the error of assuming that gain is godliness. But he says godliness with contentment is great gain, and that's what we're supposed to enjoy. Then again, I read from the Believer's Bible Commentary that although he belonged to the kingdom of Judah, and you remember now that Judah has been divided from the northern 10 tribes, which we call Israel, though he belonged to the kingdom of Judah, he was commissioned to go north to Samaria and prophesy against the kingdom of Israel. Amos was a stern prophet of righteousness and uncompromising justice. And it's unfortunate that we try to avoid talking about God's coming judgment. We don't like talking about the wrath of God. We don't like talking about eternal conscious punishment. We don't like talking about those things. I don't like talking about those things, but the Bible talks about them a lot. If we were to go to Joel, which we talked about earlier, there was a plague of locusts. If we come to Amos, there's a plague of locusts. If we were to go to Joel, which we talked about earlier, we talk about the day of the Lord, the day when the Lord is going to intervene in the history of mankind, particularly as it comes to the effects of the history of the nations on Israel. And we read about the day of the Lord, and we come to Amos, to Joel, and we read again about the day of the Lord. So Amos starts out talking about judgments that are going to come on the nations surrounding Judah and Israel. And then he talks about judgments that are going to come against Israel itself, the 10 tribes, and judgments that are going to come against Judah. And these judgments are going to come from Assyria, which has apparently been able to be victorious over Syria itself. And so the Assyrian Empire is the big empire. And if you study history, you'll find out that the northern 10 tribes were taken into captivity by Assyria. And then when Babylon became the major political power of that day, then Babylon took over Assyria, and the Judah went into captivity into Babylon. But Amos prophesies against Judah, and Amos prophesies against Israel. Amos says that he's not a prophet, nor is he the son of a prophet. He's just an ordinary man that the Lord has given an understanding of coming judgments. And we place a lot of emphasis today upon professional preachers, but Amos was not a professional preacher. He had never been to the school of the prophets. He was a simple man, but he had a profound message because that message had been given to him from the Lord. And so if you're here today and you're saying, well, I don't want to listen to anybody that doesn't have a seminary degree, and I don't want to listen to anybody that says they understand the Bible unless they've been educated to understand the Bible as has happened down through the years, friend, let me tell you, if you've got a friend that's telling you that you need to be saved, if you've got a friend that's telling you that you need to make sure that you understand judgment upon sinners both now and in eternity, if you've got a friend that tells you that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, if you've got a friend that says that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world but that the world through him might be saved, then you might have an Amos in your life, and thank God for that Amos that is in your life. Now, even though judgment is coming, the day of the Lord is coming, and there's going to be severe judgments come upon both Judah and Israel, yet the Lord makes it clear that there's a bright day also that's coming. He doesn't leave them without hope. He says, behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord. And this has been put off for a long time, but it's going to happen. Behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build away cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from my land that I have given them, says the Lord God. And that's a promise that God has made to Israel. It hasn't been fulfilled yet. It's been partially fulfilled in Ezra and Nehemiah's day, but it hasn't been fulfilled yet. But it will be fulfilled. And those of us that are saved, we may go through terrible trials now, but we have heaven to look forward to. And friend, I hope that you have your trust in the Lord Jesus. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon all who have listened to your word today. We pray that they might know for sure they're saved. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.